minimize this. So I can leave it like this for now. I can just leave it black.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then once you open.
Good afternoon. My cognitive coaching adaptive school colleagues knows what to see. It's magic. The magic bend in the arm. Hi, everybody. Welcome to, there is a magical echo. Welcome to the noon time. I can't do this. Welcome. Is that any better? Oh, good. Give Kim a microphone. Okay. Well, anyway, welcome to the noon speaker on day one of the MSTC, and we welcome back our friends from the UP who are going to join us for this keynote. And thank you to Blake for helping me with my one little technology issue. But I have the pleasure of introducing our noon speaker today, who also happens to be my boss. And if this looks familiar, I did it last year. And when I thought, oh, I'll just pull out the intro I did last year, you know, you guys won't remember, and couldn't find it. So I just decided that I'm going to have to try something different. But there are still some still-isms. There's still some things that are true about Andy. True that he still has degrees from MSU in management, quantitative methods in psychology. He still serves in various leadership roles for the Smarter Balanced Assessment Consortium, the National Council on Measurement and Education, and WIDA Executive Committee. He still... can't turn the page, Kim. He still provides critical support for professional learning opportunities for Michigan educators to build assessment literacy, including the FAME project, now in its 13th year. And he's still the director of the Office of Educational Assessment and Accountability. Two other stillisms is that he's still younger than I, and that he still only takes the silver milk chocolate Hershey nuggets that sit on my desk. I know when Andy's been around. But we're really lucky. I had to, when I was thinking about how to do this differently, I looked to the OEAA office for some guidance. And I asked them, and there's about 50 of us in the office, and I said, would you send me three words that would describe Andy? And I have those words for you. Are you nervous?
Yes.
Okay. Now, Blake, this is going to magically happen, right? So I put it into word art, and so we have a word cloud. It did go out looking. But it disappeared. There we go. Yeah, so I'm just going to give you a second to look at that. I didn't have to do any editing. I'd like to think it's reliable and valid. But I gotta believe that if an office of about 60 crazy people consider him to be a listener, to be open-minded, fair, kind, calm, and caring, he must be doing something right. So to share with us what's next in Michigan Assessment, please welcome Andy Mittelstead.
Is there a clicker? I guess I have to use this. There's a clicker somewhere.
Thank you, Kim, again, for a wonderful introduction. And full disclosure, I did just open up last year's PowerPoint and updated it for this year. Because, here I am again. I'm glad to be with you all for the 60th Michigan School Testing Conference. A couple things I thought about on the way down this morning. I've been coming for a number of years now, and I remember back some number of years ago when I came to my first school testing conference. I had been at the Department of Ed for about 2 months, and I sat in a room just like this, listening to whoever was the lunchtime speaker, and I remember thinking, I've made a terrible mistake. This is not the right career choice. What did I do? So I'm glad to still be here. I did not make a wrong choice. I'm flattered of some of the things that the staff said. Kim's activity, that's very kind. That makes me feel good. So I appreciate that. Kim, thank you for that. That'll get me through the next hour or year's worth of assessment work. The other thing I noted, since it's the 60th anniversary, at home I have a notepad celebrating the 50th anniversary of MSTC. It still has a few pages on it left, and I still, when I use that, I say, oh, that was just last year's assessment, or a conference. That's been 10 years, so assessment just keeps going by. Your time flies when you're having fun, I suppose. So I'd also appreciate Kim's calling out of my support around assessment literacy and formative assessment. It's not in my slides, but I would be remiss to not call out or take the opportunity to talk a little bit about what we call the Assessment Learning Network. So if you stop outside at the Michigan Assessment Consortium's booth, I'm sure there are some materials out there about the Assessment Learning Network. And those are a series of workshops that we hold in Lansing to talk about all sorts of activities and things about assessment. It's a great opportunity for professional development because if you look at and think about assessment literacy, that really is what ties all of the sessions that we do today and tomorrow. Having a good assessment literate mind will help you work through all the different things you're going to hear over today and tomorrow. So stop over there and take a look, and we would hope to certainly see you in March. I think our next session is in March. March 4th. So anyways, let's move ahead and talk about all we want to know about assessment or what you don't want to know about assessment. So today, thankfully, there's not too many drastic changes from last year. I started coming and doing larger presentations like this at this conference because every year it seemed to have something new or crazy was happening, and that's good. We want to communicate about that. But I'm thankful that we can talk about what's steady and what's consistent and talk about some of the details that you might want to know for this upcoming spring's assessment system. But first, let's talk a little bit about this past fall or this past school year's results. So this last spring, the 2019 assessment, it was the first year that we administered the PSAT 8, 9, and 8th grade as our 8th grade assessment. That was a transition. Last year in 2019, we made that switch from the MSTEP for math and ELA to the PSAT 8, 9. PSAT 8, 9 is kind of like pre-test, probably isn't the right word, but it is kind of a launching spot to start beginning that trajectory towards the SAT in 11th grade. That's part of our Michigan Merit Exam. So we had that happen last spring, and that went very well. It's a much different test than MSTEP. So as we get into some data results I have, we can't compare 2018 8th grade MSTEP results and 2019 PSAT results. Just don't do that. Don't look at it. It's not a trend. It's a new trend. It started last year, and we'll start from there and move forward. The PSAT is a timed paper pencil test. That's multiple choice items mostly. And then the MSTEP ELA and math was given online. So this was a transition for a lot of our schools and students that you are well aware, and it went off very well, again, largely because of all the hard work that you all do in your buildings. A couple key takeaways from last year's results. Third and fourth grade ELA scores saw modest gains for a second straight year. We saw that Michigan's efforts, perhaps in early childhood education and early literacy, might be beginning to take root. And then, I don't want to jinx it, because Ed talked this morning about there could be some weather tomorrow, but if we all remember last January and February, we had a significant amount of cold days, snow days, ice days, whatever you want to call it. So it was also semi-encouraging, I suppose, or a point worth noting, that despite all of these school closings we had to deal with last year, we saw some scores go up. So that's really encouraging. So let's take a minute. I won't go through all of the numbers, but these are the results for the English Language Arts, the trend report from 2015 to 19. You'll see on the right, that's the percent change from 18 to 19. The tan color are gains, the bluish color are decreases. So we saw some gains in four of those three of those five areas that we're looking at. And again, you'll see in eighth grade in our reports, there's an NA there. We're not going to look at pluses and minuses there because, again, 2019 was the first year for the PSAT, so we don't want to look at any gains quite yet. We certainly can start that next year as we move forward. So, again, some increases there are good. One thing we really try to emphasize this year is trying to remind folks that when you look at these increases or decreases, these are tenths of percentage points. Yes, it's good that things go up. You want to look at things that go down, but these are not necessarily huge changes one way or the other in most of these cases. It is something to watch, but we try to encourage folks, remember, some fluctuations are going to happen. That's normal. We're going to see some pluses and minuses. Math, again, you see some more areas of some increases. While they might be modest, they are some gains that we wanted to note. Social studies, we saw some losses there. Certainly, we are optimistic that we have finally adopted new social studies standards in Michigan after a long fight that we had about those. So we're hopeful to begin building some tests that are aligned to those standards, and we can move forward and build from there to hopefully start seeing some improvement in social studies. So SAT scores, we saw some decreases there. I will note, so the ELA, we did see a 4.5% decrease there, and that's been decreasing over time. We are working hard with the College Board to figure out, you know, what's going on? Is there something we need to look at? What can we do to help that moving forward? Because Michigan wasn't necessarily unique also where we're seeing some of those decreases in ELA. So we are working on that with them and trying to figure out what can we do to improve that moving forward. So let's look forward to now. So this school year, we are in February of 20. Again, I've showed this slide before. This is our timeline of where we've been in the last six test administrations if you count this coming spring. You know, again, 2015 was the MSTEP. Here's some of the things that we changed over time. 15 was the long assessment. We had to remove performance tasks over some time. We included some different multiple choice or machine scored items in the CAT portion of the MSTEP. We added the performance-based writing into our MSTEP because we thought it was critical to retain some manner of a writing component in our ELA exams for all of our grade levels. And then last year, like I mentioned, we had to transition to the PSAT in eighth grade. This year, we're okay. Nothing is changing in terms of any of our administrations this year, so that is a positive. Our team always talks about back at the office, we always look forward to not huge changes because we want to spend time on building supports and resources and tools and not necessarily spending all of our efforts rebuilding and retooling the assessment itself. So we are looking forward to continuing to do more good work in terms of the supports we can provide for folks. This is the chart that talks about everything and all the things you want to know about assessment. One thing I would note on here that I'll talk about in another slide, we still do list benchmark assessments on here. We do feel like benchmark assessments can and would be a critical component to an assessment system, but benchmark assessments are no longer provided by the state. I'll talk about that in another second. So we list them on there. We do feel like they're important when they're used right. And then the rest of this chart on here talks about what in each grade level is provided in terms of state assessment. And all of these slides are available on the website that has all of the resources from the presentation, so feel free to take a look and download those. All of these charts are also part of our state guide to assessments that we publish each September or October. That's out on our MDE website. These are our testing windows. So you look like it's pretty familiar. We did just, as folks should be aware, we adjusted the second testing window. And I'll talk about in a minute. We moved that up. So while there are still 2 4-week windows, there's a 2-week overlap in the middle instead of a 1-week overlap. And I'll talk about that in a second. That's due to some action we made based on the Read by Grade 3 legislation that we're going to work through. And I'll talk about Read by Grade 3 for a few minutes here in a second. But more or less, this should look very familiar to folks. We have not drastically changed when and how we're doing our assessments in terms of windows. So let's spend a little bit of talking about the Read by Grade 3 legislation. This is the third grade retention law, the third grade reading law. We call it the Read by Grade 3 law. Whatever you want to say, we've been talking about it for years at this point. This year is go time. It's time to work on it and to do it. The runway, we are out of it, so here we go this spring. So if you're not familiar with it, the third grade law adopted in 2016 requires schools to identify learners who are struggling with reading and writing and to provide additional help. That's the root goal of the legislation. Like I said, we had to adjust the second test window this year, which includes grade 3, to provide some aid in the 30-day appeal window that parents have if their student is identified. So that was the point. So parents have 30 days after they're identified or notified of their student, if they get flagged for retention, to appeal that to their school. So we wanted to figure out a way and do anything we can to get those letters home so there's enough time so you can call, so there's someone basically in your building, school building, that you can talk to if you want to appeal. So we did move that window because of that. MDE, we plan to start sending data to CEPI to generate letters as early as May 5th. So we moved that window up. So 1 week later, we hope to start sending data to CEPI. So here's where my next bullet comes in. There are so many players that play in this sandbox to make this law happen. It's MDE, certainly, our assessment team. CEPI is heavily involved, the Center for Educational Performance Information. CEPI is the ones, they're the ones that are responsible to send these letters home to students and families. We have to talk to the state of Michigan mail services, because these letters that CEPI creates have to be sent via certified mail home. So we have to work with the state of Michigan's mail services. And then ultimately, once they leave the mail services, they have to go to the postal service and then somehow make it home to families. So we hope moving the window 1 week helps as much as we can, but there's a lot of players here. So what we're doing is we are doing everything we feasibly can, as is CEPI and some of these other groups that we're working with, to try to implement this law as best we can. I will say right now, we are anticipating it might be bumpy. It's not going to be easy. Because one of the things that we laugh or cry about all the time in our office is when you send a certified mail home, someone has to be there to sign for it. How many families aren't home during this school day or the work day to receive the certified letter they're supposed to get? So then second question, how many parents are going to then drive to the post office to pick up their certified letter, maybe thinking it's a sweepstakes award or something like that, but it's actually a read-by grade 3 identification letter. So there are lots of things to figure out. We've done a lot. We are close in many different ways. But I'll say right now, despite as hard as we are going to work, there's going to be some bumps. So certainly please be patient with us as we think through this and try to implement it as best as can. That being said, some more details. So let's talk about who's going to get these letters. The law says that starting this school year now, for a number of years we had this 2020 date out in the distance, so we said, oh, we'll figure it out when we get there. Well, it's here. So starting this year, the law says performance on the grade 3 state ELA assessment will be part of, or one of the factors determining if third graders will be promoted to fourth grade. This year's MSTEP ELA proficiency scores cannot be used to predict the percentage of students that might be retained next year. The law talks about identifying students that are reading at least one grade level behind on their ELA assessment. So there's multiple struggles there. It's saying we need to use the ELA assessment, an English Language Arts assessment, to identifying a reading ability, which is just one component of ELA. We also know that the MSTEP is a measure of proficiency, not a grade level equivalency based assessment. So how are we going to make that work? You can't just take, you know, did you pass the MSTEP or not, and use that for this measure. So what did we do? I talked through several of these things. What we did last, two summers ago, in the summer of 18, and I did talk about this a little bit last year, I believe. We talked about the process. We worked with educators like yourselves to come up with a unique cut score specifically for this law. We were able to use the English Language Arts test. We sat down with elementary educators and some administrators to talk specifically about third graders to figure out what would a student look like who you feel, as an expert on third grade students, who you feel would not be eligible to move ahead. What would those look like? And then what we did, we worked with folks to go through what's called a bookmark standard setting process to essentially create two cuts or three unique performance levels. So put aside the MSTEP ELA performance levels and look at this new set of scales that we're doing. Because if we just use MSTEP proficiency, we'd be identifying, you know, over 50% of our students, and that's not going to be helpful whatsoever. So we went through a different process. I'll jump right to this slide. So This is a chart that it is out there. We did a press release a while ago. It is out on our website. So what we did is we came up with three unique performance levels here. So look at this. On the bottom, the 1272 or above, those are students, for lack of better words, that are passing the Read by Grade 3 law. They have a score. They're eligible for promotion. Based on this last year's data, 78.6% of our students will move ahead. They're good to go. They did well enough to move forward. If you're in that middle bar, if you have a scale score of 1253 to 1271, those students we feel are still eligible for promotion, but we do want to identify them somehow for the local schools to say, hey, Andy's in this bucket. He might need some additional support. I think that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with identifying students to say, hey, might want to take an extra look and see if you can help them in some ways. So that's what that middle bar is. On the bottom, if you have a scale score between 0 and 1252, these are the students that we're going to identify that are going to get these letters that will be eligible for retention. Again, this is just the step one of a long process. This letter that we're giving the MDE, we're not the ones responsible for deciding retention. We're just identifying students that the local schools need to start the process of looking at what they might want to do. And looking at this, you can see, based on data from 2018, this identifies about 5% of the population. This last year, that score got better, 4.1% of the population. So that's good. We also did some research with other states and looked around, what are other states doing that have similar laws? And it's about this amount of students. So we feel like we're in a pretty good place with this. That's the 4.1 of students. Those are the kids that are going to get sent a letter. Hopefully it gets home to parents. So that's where we're at with that. So we are feeling pretty encouraged that we have figured out, to the best of our ability, a route forward with this. And certainly we'll be looking for ways to improve it moving forward once we get going this coming spring. So this is just year one, and hopefully it'll get smoother as we move ahead. I mentioned this earlier, so the reimbursement for vendor-provided assessment options, if you recall, there was last year, there was money in the state budget to go out as reimbursement grants to districts that opted to purchase benchmark assessments. That was just over $9 million that went out to schools to subsidize or pay for a whole portion of their benchmark assessment system. That law was removed this year. That was vetoed out of the budget as part of the budgeting process that we went through in the legislature. And again, like I said earlier, we still encourage use of benchmark assessments. Many of them are very good, and they can be used in a lot of positive ways, so we certainly would support that. So looking forward, like I said, you know, we've been fairly consistent over the past number of years, and that's great. We don't like drastic changes. We like to be able to take what we have and tweak things and improve things the best we can. When we are certainly committed to improving our assessment system and to promote student learning and provide meaningful information for educators and parents. And we are certainly going to continue to work with stakeholders like all of yourselves to look for ways that we can enhance the system and improve the system. And one thing certainly we're advocating for in our, I'm going to put, say, free time. We don't have free time, but now that we're not changing tests all the time, we are working a lot on those assessment literacy components that I talked about when I got up here. We do support a lot formative assessment practices. That's really important. So take a look, talk with anybody that's involved in the FAME program. That's great. That's a great resource. That's a great way to start seeing some instruction improve and seeing some progress in your students. So we really like to support all of those things, that end of the balanced assessment system. You've seen in a session earlier today I was in, and you've seen me present several times, you know, if you look at the balanced assessment system where you have formative assessment on your far left side, if you will, and you have your summative assessment like the M-step on the far right, spending a lot of time focusing on that formative end. What are you doing around instruction? How are you getting feedback? How are you setting goals with your students? And what are some ways you can work with them to meet those goals? That's where we really like to talk about spending time on and working with students in that way. And then certainly we would hope that would help them farther down the road in their benchmark assessments or certainly on their summative assessment. So everything I said here, I believe, also a pitch for all of our other sessions that we have going on. I think almost every component has a specialized session going on sometime today from the staff from OEAA. So if there's anything you want to spend more time on, Read by Grade 3, math, any of those sorts of things, go check out those sessions. The staff have worked really hard to put things together for this week. So certainly, thank you for your time. Thank you for coming. And we appreciate all you guys very much. So thanks very much.
I'd like to once again thank Andy for his remarks. If we could give him another round of applause. I really appreciate that Michigan has such a fine assessment director. What really impresses me is the lineage that Andy is the latest in the support that's been provided in the state for the formative assessment for Michigan Educators Program, for assessment literacy, really seeking to help educators understand the reasons why we assess and what assessments can and cannot do. And I think MDE under his leadership is really doing a great job of that. So really appreciate that. I want to make a few just comments before we break. First of all, I want to thank the College Board for lunch. The support of organizations like that helped to keep our registration fees down. And I know that if you had to pay for it or your organization does, they appreciate that as well. Second of all, there was one session that was dropped between the time of the registration and the final program. And given how well folks didn't listen to my adjusted times this morning, I'm hesitant to even raise it. But the original, not the current in the program, session B3, B as in boy, Baker, whatever, 3, was dropped. And that session was, but is not the current one, remember, using student evidence in instructional rounds to elevate and support literacy development. Those presenters were unable to make it after all, and so we dropped that session. The B3 session that's in your program is not what I'm talking about. Got that? B3 in the program is okay. The B3 that you might have signed up, there are about 20 people that signed up for it, is not on the program. So if nobody goes to session B3, then I'll know that you haven't listened. So do go there if you are interested in that one in your program. But I wanted to make sure that there wasn't, well, I was hoping there'd be no confusion, so we'll see if I was successful in that. Third, on your table and in the program on page 21, there are a couple of things I'd like to note. There's a QR code where you can provide your ideas for future sessions. I can attest to the fact that the planning committee does consider your suggestions, and many of them get added. And we thank you for that. And that includes additional speakers that you'd like to have do opening sessions, lunch sessions, as well as clinic topics. There's also an address there on the tent card that indicates how you can get access to all of the conference materials. We've really tried hard, and Phil Merrow from MASA has really been supportive of this and collecting the material and posting them, hoping that they're organized by the session so you can find them. And I think just about every presenter has done that this year, and we really appreciate that because I know those are valuable. Let's see, what else have I got here? The Michigan 3 through 5 room over here will need to be cleared out when we do break because they'll have to bring the wall down, and again, we don't want anybody injured by that. So we'll ask you to vacate the place, even if you can come to a session there and come back in. And then one final thing that's been a kind of a hallmark of this conference for a number of years, and that is this afternoon at 4:30 following the C session, there's going to be a reception out in the area of the exhibits, and that is once again sponsored by Measurement Incorporated. And really appreciate Hank Sherrick and the others from Measurement Incorporated putting that on. I heard the rumor that Hank was retiring. I've verified that that's not the case. He's just stepping down from leadership. But again, congratulations, Hank. And we thank you for all of the support that you provide to the conference. That's been a number of years, and we look forward to that continuing as well. So do stop by. There will be refreshments and tasty treats and that sort of thing for you to partake of. And it's also an opportunity for just sit and talk with colleagues and before you head out. Then this will be our last time that I'll be up here. We'll be together until tomorrow morning. Jim Pellegrino will be talking tomorrow morning about the early literacy assessment system that the Michigan Department of Education has helped to create. And I think it'll be used as an example of how a balanced assessment system could be built. And I think you're going to find that interesting. And then at noon, a group of us old timers got together, and we're planning a little bit of a tribute to the 60th anniversary of the conference. And for those of you who haven't seen out in the exhibit area, there's all of the old material that we could rustle up. And frankly, you'll find it interesting to look back 20 or 30 years and look at the topics. And if you do that, ask yourself, have we changed at all? Are we still talking about the same things? Yeah, the name of the state testing program has changed, but still the same issues. So, but do enjoy, and I hope you find this afternoon productive. Again, 3 through 5 over here, you'll need to vacate so they can bring the wall in. And with that, we're a little bit of ahead. That's okay. I'm not going to adjust the schedule. You'll just have a few more minutes before the next session starts at 1:45. So take the time to visit the exhibits. Thank you.